Okay, so today's daf is Shabbos daf Tzadi Gimel. I think let's just start in like the bottom of Tzadi Beis Amud Beis, where we have this debate. Let's say the fourth to last line of Tzadi Beis Amud Beis, where the Gemara has this debate regarding whether if it's basically based on the Mishnah, whether if two people carry something. Are they chayev or are they not chayev? And so the Gemara wants to ask, it's four lines from the bottom, minahani mili, so what's the source, all these things that two people who do one malacha are pater, are exempt. So the Gemara said, ba'asosa, the Pasuk says, ba'asosa, ha'oses kula velo ha'oses mixasa. You have to do the whole malacha, you can't do part of it. Ketzad, shnaim shahayu ochzim b'malgaz, and if let's say two people are holding this kli, this fork, it's pitchfork, I think.
Pitchfork.
Velogzim, and something to gather the kernels. Another utensil. Bakirkar with this piece of spear, it seems. Or no, it's I'm sorry. Are they holding like a bobbin, right? There's a vishovdin or some other kind of weaving utensil. And then bakulmus. If they're holding this quill, the costume, and they're writing with it, but are they holding it as kind of reed and they bring it to Rishus Rabbim? Yochol chayavim, you would think that you'd be liable. Tavalomar ba'asosa ha'oses kula v'lo ha'osa b'ksa. So you have to do the whole balacha and not part of the balacha. Okay, be'igol shel devela. If it's this something where you to trample dried fruit, dried figs. Votziel or Shusha Rabbin, and two people holding this, and they brought to Shusha Rabbin, but Korah Votziel or Shusha Rabbin with this big beam that they carried it in Shusha Rabbin. Rabbi Omer, im lo yocholecha Votziel shnaim chayavim im la patur. Rabbi Yehuda says, if one person could not carry himself, but only two people could carry it, then you would be chayav. But if one person could carry it by himself, then you'd be patur. Rabbi Shimon Omer, afa pish lo yocholecha Votziel, Votziel shnaim paturim. Even if one person could not carry it himself, and two people carry it, you'd be pater. So I mean, according to Shimon, right? Any large implement, you'd never be chayav achatas for, because you'd always have two. If you have two people carrying it, even if it's too big for one person to carry it, you'd be pater. Based on the pasuk, ba'soso yachid shaso chayav shnayim shaso paturim. It says that only individual who does the malacha is chayav. If two people do it, you're pater. Now the Gemara is going to try to clarify. What's the nature of their debate? But my kamiflagi, why are they arguing on this? Bahai kra, because the drasha of the following pasuk, Yivnechash achas techta bishkogame am haoretz ba'asosa. Pasuk says, if one person sins unintentionally, to do ba'asosa. Rabbi Shimon Savar, talasa miyute ksive. There are three words that exclude something in the pasuk. The first says nefesh techata, because why is it nefesh not nefashos? So only one nefesh, and then achas techata, also only if one person sins and not two. And the third mute is ba'asosa techata. It says ba'asota. So you have three miutim. So chad limute. So one excludes if two people carried it. Ze oker v'ze bediach. The both of them are exempt. Bechad, and another word that first singular excludes zeyachol v'zeyachol. If each one can carry it by himself, then both of them are potter. Bechad limute, one to exclude zeyde yachol v'zeyde yachol. If each one is unable to carry it by himself, still you are potter. So that's what Shiva learns. In all cases, you would be potter. So it's not just the word basosa by itself, but it's together. It says three times singular in that pasuk. Rabbi Yehuda says that he only exempts what everyone can carry by himself. But if each one cannot carry by himself, so then you would be chayav. So how does he learn this pasuk? So he darshins, he expounds, chad limute ze oker v'ze miniach. The first one excludes the case of one picks it up and one puts it down. V'chad limute, because you have to do both aspects of the blacha. V'chad limute ze yachol v'ze yachol. One excludes where each one, this one can do it by himself, and this one can do it by himself. V'chad limute, and they do it together. V'chad limute, yachid sha'asa b'horas beistin. Let's say court says you're allowed to do something which is forbidden from the Torah. An individual did it based on their psak halacha, their ruling, and it became known that they made a mistake. That individual is exempt from being a korban chatas. The word basosa means that when you do it based on your own das, based on your own understanding, and this excludes a situation where you did it because the based in the court told you that it was permitted, that's considered an ones, that's considered an unavoidable circumstance, in which case you would be pater. Now Rabbi Shimon, who doesn't darshan that, he would say, Yachid Shasub Haras based in Chayef. So now he has a stringency, because he holds that an individual does something based on the ruling of based would be liable to bring a korban chatas. Rav Meir, what about Rav Meir? Rav Meir doesn't exempt the case if two people did it together. So he says, Miksiv nefesh techata achas techata ba sosa techata. It says, Ve'im nefesh achas techata ba sosa. Now there's only one mute. Nefesh achas is a mute. That's the way the pasuk generally would write it. In other words, the pasuk would normally, one second, because, let's see Rashi for a second. So Rashi says,
Nefesh Achas is only one mute.
There's only one mute here. Right. Trei miutik sive. There are two miutim. I'm sorry. Nefesh Acha is normal way to write it, so that's not considered a mute. So there are only two miutim. There are only two words that are singular to teach you something. Chadimute zeoker v'zemidiach. One singular word is teaching you that if one picks it up and one puts it down, then you are pater, and you're exempt from bringing a korban. Uvachadimute, another one exempts you. The case of Yachid Shasav Haras Beis Din, an individual who did it based on the Psak of Beis Din. Okay. Now, so the Gemara is now going to teach us about, or to discuss the third halacha in the Mishnah about two people who did something, about two people who did the malacha. Amar Mar, we saw that if two people carry something from Shus Yachid to Shus Harabim, Zeh Yachol, Vzeh Eidu Yachol, Divrei HaKol Chayev. If one is able to carry it, by himself, and the other one's not able to carry it by himself, according to everyone, he is chayev. One is chayev. So Gemara asks, "Hai minayim mechayev?" Which one of them would be chayev? Amar Rav Chista, zeh sheyachol. The one who is able to carry it by himself is chayev. Why? Because based on his koach, based on his power, his strength, the whole malacha was done. The e zeh sheedo yachol. If you can say the guy who was able to do it himself is chayev by koach, what do you do? The malacha wasn't done based on his strength, but it was done based on the guy who was able to do it. Amalei Rav Hamnuna, Rav Hamnuna said to him, he said that there is a reason why you can make the person who is not able to do it himself chayev. Why? To come as sayeh bahadeh, because he's helping the other guy who's able to do it. So why are you exempting him? Amalei Misayeh Ein Bo Mamash. So Rav Chista said back to him that misayeya, if you cannot do something you cannot do the full malacha by yourself, and you just help someone, that is not considered anything significant from a Torah perspective, and you would not be chayv a korban chatas.
Rabbi,
yeah,
I don't understand. If the second person who can't do it by himself is helping the first person, he thinks the first person can't do it by himself. Otherwise, why is he there doing it? Why shouldn't he bear responsibility? I mean, if he thought the first person could do it by himself, why is he doing it?
Oh, I mean,
he's helping him.
Okay, he's helping him. So that's a question. So fine. I agree with you that he's helping him.
But he's not allowed to do it on Shabbos. So if he's doing it and he's not necessary, then why should he be putter? I mean, he should say to the other person, I'm not doing it on Shabbos. You can do it by yourself. You move it.
Right. No,
he's doing something.
Okay.
Even if he's doing 25% of it,
right?
He could have done 0%.
Correct. The question is, the Gemara is rejecting your assumption, which is a reasonable assumption. The Gemara is taking the position at this point that if you assist someone in doing a malacha, and you cannot do the entire malacha yourself, So then you are potter. That was maybe maybe you're only chayav to bring a korban on a Torah level. You know, it's wonderful that you helped him. I mean, it's significant that you helped him, but maybe it's not significant enough to be to obligate you to bring a korban chatas unless you are capable of doing the entire malacha. I mean, that's the question. It's not based on whether you are helping the guy. That's a nice chesed that you're doing for him. That's not. But in terms of being significant from doing a malacha, it might be that you actually have to have the ability to do the entire malacha, and you do it.
That's how Rashi seems to understand. He says, "The imbala sosa levado eino yochol." Rashi is emphasizing what you just said: the fact that he can't do it on his own. So yeah. That's considered to be a malacha.
Right.
That's a Rashi.
It's not based on like he's helping him, but it's not necessarily being chayv to malacha. So Rav Zvid brings a proof in the name of Rava to Rav Chista's position, and they're going to debate this point. So Rav Zvid brings a proof to support his position that Misayeh ain't bo mamish. Amar Zvid mishmei de Rava af anan namitinu. We also learn this concept when it comes to Tumas Medrash Hazav, right? Tumas Medrash Hazav is when you are sitting on top of a bed, and then the bed's on top of a cushion, top of a cushion, on top of another cushion, another cushion. So the lowest cushion, so that would that is also Tameh. That's Tumas Medrash. And that specifically applies to Hazav. So let's see. The Mishnah says in Zavim, Haya Yoshiv Agavi Habita, let's say the Zav is sitting on a bed, Va'arba Talisos Tachas Ragli Habita, and there were four garments under the legs of the bed. So, Tameos, they're all considered Tamei Medras. Because a bed cannot stand on three legs, it needs to stand on four. So therefore, all four of the legs cannot bear the bed by itself, and therefore, it is a medras on all of them. Right? Now, there's all four of the bed. You have four different garments. One, I guess, under each leg. That's what it seems like. So since each one is necessary to support the bed, so therefore, each garment under it is tamei tumas medras. Rabbi Shimon mitahir. Rabbi Shimon permits it. Says it's tahor. Why? Because he holds even in this case, each one is only that even in a situation where each leg by itself is insufficient to support the bed, that each leg is only considered a misayeya, and therefore it's not considered medras. It's only considered medras if it's something that by itself supports the zav, or the bed that's underneath, or whatever is underneath the zav. So it has to be able to support it by itself. Now, by the way, this concept, what the Gemara is doing here, is saying Maseya Ein Bo Mamish, saying it's not just a Shabbos question; it's even a Tuma and Tahara question. And now Haya Rochev Al Gabe Behema. Let's say the zav is riding on an animal. V'arba Talisos Tachas. What? Tachas ragle beheba, and there are four talisos under the four legs of the animal. So tahoros, so they are tahor, mipnei sheyachol lamod al shalosh. So even according to the chachabim, they are tahoros because you could stand on three legs and not on four. And so what it seems is that, and you judge each leg as if it's not medras because. Because you don't, it doesn't necessarily need it. It could only stand on three legs and not on four legs, and therefore, each leg, it's not. Therefore, right, each one is not a medras because he can't stand on either leg. So v'amai hakam misayeh v'adadeh hadadi. Yeah, but the fourth leg that's not needed for the behemoth to walk, it's still assisted. Lav mishum damrinan misayeh ein bo mamish. Isn't the reason because ein bo mamish? So Rabbi Huda from Discarta says la'olam ein malach. Really, I'm going to say to you misayeh yesh bo mamish, that misayeh is significant. V'shayli hacha. And the legs of the animal are different from other types of misayaya, to akwa la lagamri. That's the way of the animal to pick up its feet completely and to stand on the three other feet without any assistance from the fourth. And since he's saying that since it's not misayaya, in a regular basis, it's not considered misayaya at all. So I think what he's saying is that each one of the four legs is considered like the four. Each one of these four legs is not considered misayaya at all, because. I think what he's saying is because
he picks up one of the legs entirely from the ground. So I guess, so therefore, if it's not on the ground, it's not misayaya.
Right.
It's not on the ground, it's not misayaya.
Right. It's not on the ground, it's not misayaya. Right. So therefore,
because it's not supporting the animal, and the animal picks it up, I guess, to walk.
Right. So it's never, the fourth leg is never misayaya.
Yeah, plus we don't know which leg is.
Right. So
any one of the legs can be the misayaya. We don't know, and that was, you know, we don't know. Plus right. The fact that the animal is lifting its leg, so it's not viewed as misayaya.
And then the Gemara is going to continue to say, "V'kevan dezimnim akra ha v'zimnim akra ha." That sometimes right. The animal picks up this leg, and sometimes the animal picks up the other leg. So there's a doubt. You just said, David, there's a doubt with respect to each leg that may be. It's the other three legs that are, or maybe it is one of the three legs that
they're putting their weight on, that's supporting it.
So then the Gemara is saying, Lehave kizav hamishapech. Why don't you say that it's like a zav who turns around on many different, I guess, cushions. So you're metame everything. In other words, this is a case of suffix now. So why don't we say that in a case of suffix, we should be stringent? Milo tanan, zav shahaya mutal chamisha sav salam o al chamesh pundaos. A zav that's lying on five benches or five pundaos, or also, I guess, money belts or something that are placed one next to the other. That la orkan, like you're lying on your back or on your stomach, tameim, they're all tame, because I guess all of them you're either leaning on this cushion or this bench or that bench, but if it's la rachban, if you're lying on them widthwise tahorim, because each one is not bearing the. The majority of the body of the zav, but only the minority. But so yashan. But if he slept on them, safek mishapech aleihem, and then tameim. So let's say if you're leaning on all of them, so it's not a problem. If you're only leaning on the width, so then the rove of your body is not being supported by them, so then it's tahor. But let's say that you are sleeping, so you move around in your sleep, so you're sometimes leaning on one, sometimes sleeping on another, so they're tame misafik. So we say that you're tame misafik. So based on that, when it comes to the legs of the animal, that we consider that the leg that's uprooted, that doesn't, not misaya at all, and the other three carrying the person by himself, why don't we say that all the garments underneath should be tame misafik? Right? Well, you say that they're all, because at some point, you know, what, three of them are definitely being supporting you. So elav lav mishum darina misayim b'mamish. So what must you hold? You must hold that each one of the legs is misayaya to help the animal walk, and therefore that when you're riding on it, and then there are garments underneath, so each one of them is helping, but nevertheless, since we say you're tahor, so that's misayeh ein bo mamish. So it's misayeh as ein bo mamish, because it only supports it; it can't do it by itself. So Amar Papi Mishmei Derava Afanan Nami Taninan. We also learned this halacha regarding Tumas Midras Zav, and Rabbi Yosi Omer Hasus Mitame al yadav, hachamor al raglav, shemish enes hasus al yadav, vechamor al raglav. So Rav Yossi says that, in that prior Mishnah, when we said that after the halacha, that the zav who rides on an animal that had four talisos, they're all tahor, Rav Yossi says, no, they're not all tahor. Rather, the horse is, that if the zav is riding on the horse, so then he's metame the two garments that are under the two front legs. And when it comes to the donkey, if he's riding on a donkey, he's metame the two garments that are under the hind legs. Why? Because shemish enes hasus al yadav, the horse leans on its front legs, and therefore that's tumas midras underneath those legs. V'chamor al raglav, and the donkey leans on its hind legs, and therefore the zav is sort of bearing pressure on that, and it's metame only the back legs that are on the tumas midras. V'amai, why is that? How come? Messiah Badadi Adali, yeah, but aren't the other legs supporting it? So Lavishadamrina Messiah Bamamish. So it must be that Messiah is not significant in order to make it Tame. Ravashi says, I got another proof for that, that Messiah Bamamish. So Rabbi Lezer Omer, Lezer says that a Kohen who serves in the Mikdash, Raglo Achas ala Kli, Raglo Achas ala Ritzba. Let's say he has 1 foot on a kli, a utensil, 1 foot on the ground. Raglo achas al ha'eved, raglo achas al ha'ritzpa, 1 foot on the stone, 1 foot on the ground. Roin kol she'ilo yinatel ha'kli v'tinatel ha'eved yachol avod al raglo achas avodaso k'shera. We estimate, we see that, because you're only supposed to do the avoda on the floor, on the ground. You're not allowed to do the avoda while you're standing on a kli or a stone. So we evaluate, we see that if he would remove the kli or the stone, and he could still stand on 1 foot on the floor, so then his avoda is valid, is kosher, because there can't be a chatzitza, there can't be an impediment between the kohen and the floor of the mikdash. Vimlav, and if you wouldn't be able to stand on the 1 foot, then avodaso psula, then his avoda is invalid. And Ravashi proofs, Vamai, why is that? How come Messiah Bahadeh Hadadi? That why, if you could stand on 1 foot, is your avoda kasher? Isn't your second foot still that's on the stone or on the kli? Isn't that also helping your avoda? Because helping you balance, still helping you. La mishum damrinan. Is it not because we say Messiah in bo mamish? So another proof for that. And the final proof for this, Amravina Afanan Namitanina, we also learn in the Mishnah. Kibel Bayamim, if you did Kabbalah Sadam with your right hand, right, that's after you slaughtered the animal, so then you receive the blood in a Kli. So let's say you did it in the right hand, that's Kasha for the Avoda. The small Misayato, the left hand assists you in terms of, holding the Kli. No. So that's talking about by Kabbalah Sadam. You have to take from the blood, and you have to apply it with your finger. So let's say your left hand, holding your right hand, to assist it. So Avodaso Kshera, your Avodas Kshera is good. Vamai, why is it? So how come Isayeh Ba'adadeh Dadeh? Aren't they assisting each other? Isn't the left hand assisting the right hand? Lamishin Amrina Misayeh Ba'amish. So that's not significant. Shmamina, so we prove from here that Misayeh Ein bo mamish. So what's interesting is that some of the Zera Yaakov points out that we have all these different proofs is to tell you that that for the most part, Misayeh Ein bo mamish, not just by Shabbos, but in many other instances, right? We have cases of Avoda Tumah and Tahara, because there actually is one case where we do say Misayeh Yesh bo mamish, and that is when it comes to shaving. When it comes to makif and nikaf, when it's shaving the corners of your head, so if you assist with when it comes to that, there's a special limud, a special teaching why you are chayef, and so therefore the Gemara wants to show all these different proofs and say in most instances other than this, ain bo mamish. And the Gemara continues, Amar Mar, Zeyachov, Zeyachov, Rabbi Meir Mechayev. So both can pick up the chair or whatever it is, and they do it together. Rabbi Meir says, nevertheless, you're still Chayev. You're still liable. According to Rabbi Meir, whatever the Shir Hotzah is, is it? So Rabbi Meir says, you're Chayev, two people carry this one item. According to Rabbi Meir, does each person has to carry a shiur? So in other words, it would be twice the amount of the object would have to be twice the amount normally, because one shiur for each person, or maybe it's one shiur for everyone. In other words, the same shiur that I would have to carry by myself to be chayev, it would be the same shiur for the two of you if you would carry it, or do we say it's double? That's the question. So that's a debate among the Amoraim. I'm going to bring a proof that I have a Mishnah that says it's one shear for everyone. And what's that? The Mishnah Zavim. Again, they bring two Matahara here. Let's say someone sitting, the Zavim sitting on top of a bed. And there are four garments under the four legs of the bed. They are all tame. Because they can't stand, the bed can't stand on three legs. Therefore, each one is necessary. Why is that? Liboy shir ziva lazev, shir ziva lazev. Why are the talisos tameos? You should require a shir that each leg should be able to hold the majority of the zav. Right? Shears, right? The shir that the shir ziva lazev. So in other words, it would have to be able. You would need four zavim, four people who are zavim, to sit on the four talisos. If, in other words, if one person is sitting on it, so there's not a shear for each of the for each talis, you know, each talis is only supporting one quarter of a zav. So maybe you would require since there are four supports, you would require four zavim to be metame. So, but we don't say that. La mishum damrina and shir echad l'kulam. So it must be what? That we hold, you only need one shir for all of them, and therefore you only need the four supports for one. So just like you have four legs, and that supports one person, and we say that the four legs are tameh, and the garments underneath are tameh, so too we're going to say that if two people carry one object, it's just the shir, the regular shir for that one object, you'd be chayav for Shabbos. Amar Rav Nachman, and we have a few more anantaninans. After Anan Tavina, we also learn this concept regarding trapping on Shabbos. Because what does it say in the Mishnah? In Daf Kuvon and Beis, Tzvi Shenichnas Labayis. Let's say a bed that, a deer that enters into the house. V'nola Echad Befodav. And one person locks the door in front of the deer. So the deer can no longer leave. Chayev. So the guy is liable. Nalu Shnayim. If two people lock the door, Beturim, they're exempt. Let's say one person was not able to lock the door by himself and two people locked it together, you'd be liable. So Nachman proves from here, Bamai, Liboy Shir Tseda Lazev, Shir Tseda Lazev. Right? You should, why should both of them be liable? You should require two, you should have to trap two deer. So Lavishud Arina and Shir Echa Lekulam. So it's also one shir for both of them. Amar Ravina, Afananabitimina, we also learn this in the Brisa. Shutim Shiganvu Vitavchu. Let's say partners who stole and slaughtered an animal. Chayavim, they are liable to pay four or five times. Va'amai, why are they liable on slaughtering the animal? Liboy, Shir Tvich Lezev, Shir Tvich Lezev. You should be liable the Shir of Tvicha for each one. In other words, it should be at least two animals, not for one animal. Same idea for Nezikin. Damages, we also say, one shear for both of them. Even if partners do it, then are liable. Let's say someone takes some kind of weaving utensil, weaving implement. Okay, whatever it is. Some kind of weaving implement. Chayavim, so you are liable. shouldn't you require the shir of otzah for each, for one? And so that's not the case here. It's just one kana, one implement. So same idea. He says, how do you know with the kana, with this weaving implement, that there's not a shear for each one? Maybe that we're talking about a case where there is enough to, I guess you're carrying it out for fuel for the fire. Maybe it's large enough. There's large enough to cook enough fuel for this this implement to cook a small egg, two small eggs. Imkain, the Gemara said, Imkain, Rav Ashi responded, Lishmai kana d'alma. He should have said that this halacha is talking about any kana, any reed that's for fuel. Maishna the Gardi, why is he talking about a weaver's implement? So obviously we're only talking about a small, you know, that to weave one garment. And so therefore it's only to weave one garment, not two garments. So we see this concept of one shear for everyone. Maybe it's enough to weave one sheet or whatever with napkin, handkerchief for each person. And maybe in that case you're chayav elamihal lekel mashimir fine. So you can't prove it from this particular source. Tana kamei de Rav Nachman shneim tziyu kana shel gadi p'turim shum mechayev. So we have a machlokas. What if two people carry this weaver's implement? Are you pater chayev? Klape laya. So the Gemara asks, is this the truth? The Rav Shimon would exempt it. Ela ema chayav yom shum poter. No, it's the other way. It's a different girsa. That really the Tanakam would say you're chayav Rav Shimon. He always says you're pater if you have two people doing something together. Okay, so let's just do the Mishnah. The Mishnah now returns to the din of Hotzah, of something that is less than a shear. So here he says that Hamotzi Ochlin Pachos Michashir Bikli. Let's say you carry from Mishus Yachdu Mishus Rabin food that is less than a shear in a utensil. Pater, you are exempt. Af al Hakli. So let's think about this for a second. The kli is a big size. The kli is the requisite size, but the food inside does not have the requisite shear, not the requisite amount. So you are pater even though you carried a kli out. Why? Shekli tfeilalo. If you're carrying food in a kli, we view it as if you're carrying the food for purpose of the shear, and the kli is tafel, is ancillary to the food. Es hachai. Ba mita, if you carry a corpse on a coffin, so if you're carrying a living person if you're carrying a living person on a bed, so there we hold you're not chayev if you carry a living person. Why? You're not chayev min haTorah, mitrabanan you are chayev, but min haTorah you're not chayev because of chay nosei et atzmo. A person can carry himself, can walk himself for the most part. You know, most people can. So therefore, we say that you're not chayav min haTorah. So if you're carrying a person on a bed, you're
assuming the person's alive.
Yes, it says es hacha. You're carrying the living person. So that's what the mission says specifically.
What if the person can't walk on his own?
Right.
That's why they're carrying him.
Isn't that like by a baby? Isn't that when you to carry a baby on Shabbos? Isn't that a factor?
There's a factor.
If the baby can walk on its own, then
might be only drabbana. Yeah, there might be more room to be lenient. Correct. If the person can't walk himself, I'm not sure if it's a category or not. I'll look into that. I'll talk about that in the halacha. I'll share with everyone and what the parameters of this is. But yeah, is it anyone who's alive or also someone who is able to walk himself? What if someone cannot walk himself? I think the Gemara is actually going to talk about it if I remember correctly. So the now we're saying though that you are pater even though the bed, because the bed is ancillary to the person. So now es hames bemita chayev. But if you carry a corpse in a coffin or a bed, then you would be chayev. because the corpse cannot carry himself. And even though you don't need the malacha, you don't need the corpse, but you need to remove it from his house. So this is, by the way, this is a debate between Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Shimon. This is a classic case of malacha she'eina tzricha legufa. This is a malacha that is done not for the purpose with which it was typically done in the Mishkan. Because normally speaking, when you're carrying something, what's the goal of carrying something? You want to get this item from point A to point B. There is a destination. A malacha tzricha legufa, the classic case of caring for which you're chayav, is when you care about the destination of the object. Here, you simply want to remove it from its original place. Obviously, that's the case we're talking about. Well, let's say it's tame, so you want to remove it from the house because it conveys tuma.
Right, but then we have something that to move a dead body, you had to put like a baby on it or a piece of a breadcrumb or something like that.
So that is a different halacha. That's a muksa halacha. So a corpse is also muksa. So that's a rabbinic prohibition, and that's how we try to get around the rabbinic prohibition. Here we're talking about the malacha doraisa of hotza'a. Okay? Right. A corpse is muksa, so there's tiltal muksa that you have to deal with. And then, right, like as you point out correctly, that by putting a piece of bread on it, so maybe somehow that we say that, you're focusing on the bread as opposed to the corpse. So that's a muksa halacha. This is a hotza doraisa halacha. So this is all according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that you're chayav for malacha. The fact that you say you're chayav here, this is all according to Rabbi Yehuda, who will say that you are chayav for a malacha shena tzricha legufa. Rabbi Shimon here would say you're potter. V'chein kezayis mihameis, v'kezayis mihanevela, v'cha adasha mihasher es chayav. And similarly, if you carry a kezayis of a corpse, or a kezayis size, at all the size of a nevela of an animal, or a bean size of a sheretz, the dead sheretz, you are chayav. And Rabbi Shimon, as I point out, says you'd be potter in all these cases because it's a malacha she'eda tzricha legufa. Okay, we'll stop here and we'll continue this God willing tomorrow.